Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli. The week, the NASCAR weekend kicked off in Daytona with the Truck Series race being run Friday night. Saturday night was the Nationwide Series race. And, of course, yesterday capping it off with the Daytona 500. My guest tonight will be former Miss Sprint Cup Paige Duke, who is down in Daytona for the weekend, and she'll be joining us shortly. And to recap it off, the Truck Series race, which was run on Friday night, Johnny Sauter was the one outlasting the field with taking the checkered flag. Kyle Busch pushing him to the front. Ron finished second. Ron Hornaday Jr. was third. Fourth was Justin Lofton. And fifth was Jeb Burton. I'd like to welcome to the show. Former Miss Sprint Cup and TV star and jewelry maker, big game hunter, the one and only, and the lovely and talented Miss Paige Duke. Paige,
hey.
Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back home. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, you've been a busy woman.
Good. I have been. I'm sure you got a lot to talk about tonight, too, after this weekend. I've been running all over, and I am in my last hour drive back to Charlotte from Daytona.
You're still on the road?
So apparently a semi tractor trailer wrecked and flipped over and was taking up all lanes on 95 North today earlier. So I sat in traffic for about 2 hours right before the Georgia line. So I'm sure a lot of people driving home from Daytona were sitting in that too.
Wow. I missed your last email that you sent me about a half hour ago. Sorry about that. I replied that, yes, we're live on the web at garagetalklive.com. I mean, at blogtalkradio.com/garagetalklive. Everybody can click on Monday edition if they want to hear you talk to me. Be careful out there. I hope watch out for those troopers.
Oh, yeah. I'm being careful. I pulled over.
Well, I don't want to. It's a shame that you're still stuck on the road. That was.
Oh, it's all right. I feel like I'm a road warrior. I'm always driving and traveling, and was just in Panama City, I guess, last weekend hunting, and then got back on the road down to Daytona, and so I'm always on the road.
It seems like it. Now you were down for the Daytona Rolex 24 with the Momo team. What was it like spending a day and all night and the next morning with a race team that was running in the, I guess, the kickoff to Speed Weeks in the Rolex 24? That had to be a wild event.
Yeah, it was awesome. I spent the holidays with my family, and then I was kind of getting anxious to get back on the road and get back in to racing and get back to the track because I just love being there. And this was the first opportunity I was given this year to work at the 24-hour Rolex race in Daytona. And I'd never been to one of those races and seen the sports performance car aspect of seeing them up close like that. And it was such a different experience from NASCAR, and I absolutely loved it. There were so many different cultures and people and accents there. It did not even feel like you were in America. It was like a huge melting pot of all these different people from all these different countries, and just so much fun. And the cars were so cool, and they're different. They're just fun looking cars. Reminds me of those movies, Fast and the Furious. But it was a fun race, and I got to work with Momo Motorsports, and one of the ladies in the red, I guess, cat suit, fire suit, walking around and just getting to meet the fans and going to the driver's meeting and getting to walk down the grid and go to pre-race with the Momo team. And it was so much fun. And I'm actually just found out I'll be working Sebring for the 12-hour race in Florida, March 15th and 16th. So I'll be back down with them, and I'm excited to get back down there.
Well, that sounds pretty interesting. Of course, the Momo team, being you were dressed in red, I did see a picture that you had posted, and I see what you mean by the cat suit. Did they have to paint that on you? Because that is having a fight.
I think they poured me into it. I felt like a superhero. That thing was tight. I was like, I've got to go to the gym a little bit before I get back into this thing. But it was fun, and then I got to see Clint Boyer was down there, and Michael Waltrip, and Jamie McMurray. So I got to see some of the drivers I met through NASCAR, and I didn't stay for the whole race. I stayed for a little while, and just seeing how they were switching out and their plan and strategy and trying to sleep outside in their stalls, it was crazy.
I can imagine that. Of course, Chip Ganassi's team won the event, which was Juan Montoya, I guess, had the anchor leg on that. At least he didn't run into any jet dryers and torch in the place. So.
I know. I was excited for him.
Of course, the Momo team, being you were all in red, I guess, was they ran Ferraris?
Yep. Ours was a Porsche.
Oh, they ran a Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
I figured it was the red and all that.
They had a Ferrari team that, and he actually won. Their driver won the Ferrari Challenge, which was cool. But they had a Porsche in the race and just had some bad luck and didn't end up finishing. It didn't work out for them. So I hope they do better this next race.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear, because especially if you'll be down there cheering them on and being their fan representative. So was that anything like being Miss Sprint Cup, what you had to do for them, greeting the fans and
mm-hmm.
running some? So that's pretty much in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I loved meeting the fans and getting to interact with them. And, they always like to get a picture of the girl in the fire suit or the cat suit or something fun. It's exciting for them, something to go show their friends and say, hey, look who we met at the race. And it's just fun getting back down there and seeing everybody. And NASCAR and racing in general is just really like a big family. And I was in Daytona this past weekend for the 500 and saw so many race fans that I remember meeting over the years as Miss Sprint Cup. And it's always just fun to see familiar faces and then meet all the new fans.
Of course, all the drivers that are still in the that were in the sport back when you were Miss Sprint Cup are pretty much all still the same ones. There were a couple of rookies. Danica, I guess, being the biggest, highest profile rookie, winning the pole. It was a good day for the ladies.
Yeah, I was pulling for first I was pulling for Tony Stewart, and then he of course got wrecked out, and so then I started pulling for Danica, and I was really hoping that she was gonna get to victory lane. It would just be so exciting and get to witness a part of history right there in the making.
I know. She ran good. She was running, top three all day until that last surge by Dale Jr. took a little bit of a few cars with him. Of course, everybody's going to follow him where he goes because he knows his way around the place. And she didn't get in line like everybody else or pulled down in front of him, and who knows? She might have been part of victory lane, and had she done it?
I know. It just looked like she kind of got sucked back. And what did she finish, sixth or eighth, something right around there? But I think that's awesome, and I can't wait to see how she's going to do this year.
Well, it was good to see her run well, finish the race, and finish in the top 10. It's a good way to start a season for your rookie year in the biggest race of the NASCAR season, the Daytona 500. She had good pit stops, and it was just good to see the fact that nobody tried to wreck her like they've done in some races past.
Right.
And she was allowed to run and get used to all that drafting.
Right.
Now, since I've last spoken to you, you went on to do some TV work with Sweet Home Alabama, the TV series on on CNT, and then after that, you had a little bit of what they call the bachelorette experience, huh?
I did. It was an awesome experience, and for those who don't know what that is, CMT is version of the Bachelorette, but it has a country versus city spin on it. So I was on the second season cast as a one of the 11 country girls, and then there were 11 city girls, and one guy ends up choosing one of the girls in the end, and I already knew the guy from college, and we were already friends, so it was fun going into that and just being able to make girlfriends, because I knew I wasn't interested in this guy. And then they asked me to be the Bachelorette on season 3, and I didn't think I was going to find love. Like, who really goes on TV thinking they're really going to find love? But I thought it'd be a fun experience, and you get to travel and meet new people and make new connections, and I just had such a fun time. But I ended up actually did end up picking someone and fell in love with him, and he lived up in Minnesota where I was working at a honey and fishing farm, so it's just very convenient how that worked out. Yeah, but, I wasn't happy up in Minnesota, and I miss my family, and he does the music and then farms up in Minnesota, so he's pretty much always going to be in Minnesota. And after Thanksgiving, I drove back home to South Carolina, and we're still friends, but it just came to one of those times where it just wasn't working, and so we'll see where that happens. But it was a great experience, and I'm so glad I got to do it. I got to go to the CMT Awards and the ACM Awards and walk the red carpet and get back in with country music. Like, country music and NASCAR is just what I love. So it was an awesome experience.
And I noticed you had a little bit of a black eye there, rifle scope, huh?
I did. I guess I'm part of the Half Moon or Crescent Moon Club now. I was hunting down in Panama City with my friends from Killing It Outdoors. And I saw the biggest buck I've ever seen. And I got buck fever, and I wasn't in a stand or anything. We were stalking them, so I was trying to support my rifle and get some stability using the tree. And that wasn't so stable. And then, of course, I was shaking and couldn't get a hold of myself. And I guess I got too close to the scope, and I shot him, and it went and got me back in the face. So I had quite the battle wound on my head, and I thought I was going to get a black eye, but I didn't. Thank goodness that wouldn't have looked good in Daytona. So that's a good story to tell.
It sure is. What were you using, a 30-06?
No, I was using a Winchester 300 short mag, so a pretty big gun.
Yeah. I was going to say, I knew you had to be shooting something with some power there.
It was a big gun, but I just got too nervous.
And also, you're into making jewelry. I've been seeing pictures of all these earrings you've been making. And how do you like doing that? It seems that you've taken a liking to the craft and put out some nice work.
Yeah, when I was in Minnesota, we were doing a lot of bird hunting, duck hunting, and pheasant hunting. And I mean, feathers have all of a sudden become really popular, whether they were in your hair or in jewelry. And I've always loved, like, Native American-looking jewelry and pieces like that. And so these feathers on these birds were just beautiful. So I just started plucking their feathers after we would get back from our hunt and saving them, and decided to teach myself to make some earrings and some feather jewelry with real feathers instead of the fake dyed chicken feathers or something. And so started making earrings, and they're very, I guess, country girl, Southwestern inspired pieces that I hand make, all of them, and they're all unique, and all the feathers are different, and they're just beautiful, especially in the sunlight. So they've actually taken off and done really well. I just call my line Ruffled Feathers, and I made a few designs for country girl shirts and some camo and other hats like that say country on them, just for all the country girls out there. And you can see them online at PageMDuke.com. You can see everything. So that's been fun to make, and people like them. So as long as they keep liking them, I'll keep making them.
And that's where they can go to order some too, right?
Yep, PageMDuke.com.
Get some fine things. I see where you post them all up on your Facebook page there. And
yeah.
I always hit the like button because I think it's pretty cool the way you do all that. And
thank you.
I am, I don't know if it would work for me. I have a pierced ear, but
I can make you a clip on.
No, I have a pierced ear, so I'll have to at least get one.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, it's great to get you back on again because it's been, what, a couple of years since we last spoke. I know your agent. She's been on a few times. And Anne-Marie, well, we were talking about being she's with Gallery of Guns there. She said she's never gone on. I said, you and her ought to get together with you and you could take her out into the woods. And
I know. I need to take her. We would have a lot of fun. I love Anne-Marie. She's great.
She's getting ready to shoot her next season of Gallery of Guns, and they're going to Illinois. And,
That is fun. I'm getting ready to go turkey hunting in March, so I'm excited about that. I've never been turkey hunting. So I have that coming up. It'll be a good time.
You're a regular living off the land type of woman. You don't find too many of those. So.
Yeah, I like to... For some reason, I like to be able to do anything the boys can do. So, I enjoy it.
It seems like, I think it's more like they try to do everything that you can do. Look at it that way.
Okay, I'll start telling them that.
Hey, if you want to keep the pace, you know, they got to keep up with you. You don't have to keep up with them.
That is true. I do need someone that can keep up.
Especially with all the traveling you do and
course
this weekend down at the races. Did you get to see all three races or pretty much just the 500?
We were still at the track out in the Midway almost until the end of the nationwide race, but I did get to see the ending. We went and sat, there's an Outback right beside the track, and so we went to the Outback for a little while and watched the end of the race. I didn't see much of the truck race, and then, of course, the 500.
Well, the nationwide race was the one where it got scary at the end there.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Good thing you were in the Outback and not the front stretch.
I know. I could not believe it.
Now, I know touring with the series is Miss Sprint Cup, you got to see some pretty gnarly wrecks on restrictor plate tracks, and it's good to hear that everybody that was involved, as fans included, they're going to heal up and none of the drivers got hurt.
Yeah,
so
that is. I'm glad it turned out well, and I'm glad that NASCAR's invested so much in the safety of the track, and I'm glad the fifth did the job it was supposed to, and everybody's okay, and they're going to have a good story to tell, that's for sure.
So what was the... your biggest highlight or event of the weekend in Daytona?
What did you say?
What was your biggest highlight of the weekend?
I was working for Ford, so I was out at their display, and we were up, we were at the track early, and I stayed there most of the day, and I got to meet a ton of fans and see old friends, and probably my biggest highlight was probably just seeing all my friends and some of the drivers. I got to see Clint Bowyer and Casey Kane out and Brad Keselowski, and just getting back out there and seeing everyone and getting to catch up with them was my biggest highlight.
So that's good. You're working for Ford this weekend, huh? So that's pretty easy. But the interesting is that being the defending series champ had to start a new car running Ford's this year instead of the Dodges he's used to driving.
Right.
Looks like the Fords had some pretty good cars out there. They just got caught up in some melee. I felt bad for Carl Edwards getting caught up in a wreck. And Brad Keselowski, they had to put his Ford back together. He was running up front towards the end there before the freight train came.
Yeah, it was fun working for Ford. And first time I've worked for them, and so maybe I'll be working with them a few more races and get to meet more fans.
Well, you get to freelance. You have to get set in one spot now. You're working for Ford,
right.
Working for Momo. And...
yep, I am. I just kind of, get the opportunities and decide which ones I want to take and who I want to work for, so it's been fun.
It's pretty good to be able to have the choice. Did you get to meet up with any of the Miss Sprint Cups? I think the only one still around when you were there was who? Was it It was you, Monica, and Kim. Okay, and then.
Yep.
And then Jacqueline
Monica and I,
came later.
Yeah, Monica and I hang out all the time when she's back in Charlotte. She's one of my absolute best friends, but I didn't get to see Kim this weekend. I guess our schedules just weren't in line, and when she was out there, I was busy working, and so I didn't get to see her, but I keep in touch with Kim a little bit, too.
Yeah, you're an alumni of a special group of ladies that can, you know, not everybody can say they were in the Sprint Cup.
Right.
And you're one of the few, you know, there's no brunettes that are Miss Sprint Cups. They're all blonde.
I know. I was like, what in the world? Where's the brown-headed girls? Monica and I were the last two. And it is awesome, though, being able to sit out and have these pictures and being able to look back on the memories. But I do think they need to get another brunette back in the group.
Yeah. And Anne Marie's the one who gives them, puts them through the screening process. Well, I'll have to have a talk with her.
I know, you will.
She's a brunette, too, and she's not picking any brunettes.
Uh-huh.
She thinks she'd be a little partial.
I know. 2 years in a row.
But they have the new one this year. The other girl that was with them last year, was Kristen Beach. She was real young. I had her on the show.
And
had Brooke on this year. I had Kim on last year as well. So Garage Talk Live and Miss Sprint Cup have a sort of a bond. Everybody.
Yeah.
And like the only one who hasn't been on is Jacqueline.
Oh, you'll have to get Jacqueline on. Then you can have them all.
That's the only one that's hasn't been on, but I could understand she gets home, she has a husband, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true. Here I am. just looking out for myself. have my dogs when I get home. That is the hardest part, traveling. I do miss my dog.
Yeah, I saw you still do some work at the veterinary clinic, or?
Yep. Part-time, and it's so great they'll work with my schedule, and whenever they need some extra help or I don't have too much to do during the week, I'll work at the vet's office part-time. That's what I got my degree in at Clemson, and so I work at a vet's office in Charlotte now that I just started. So I like working there. It's fun. It's a fun job.
Yeah, that's one thing. You take your critters to the vet to get their shots, and they know when they have to go, though. It's not something they're fond of.
I am not fond of going to get shots either at the doctor, so I do not blame them.
anymore, it's, I don't know, they used to use the air needles but if you go to the doctors, you got to get the shots. Like this year, got myself a flu shot, first time in how many years, and I guess when you get older, like me, you know, got to start getting all these shots, but when you're young like you are, you have a tendency to stay healthier.
Yeah, I don't, and thank goodness, because I have a fear of needles. I do not like them.
So you get to travel around and do a lot of hunting. Minnesota's cold in the wintertime.
It was too cold for me. It was.
Going to do some hunting up here in the mountains of Virginia. That's not too far.
That'd be fun. Yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, maybe an opportunity will come up with in the outdoor industry or one of the outdoor shows or something else in NASCAR will come along. And so I'm excited to see what the future holds and what opportunities will be out there for me.
Maybe a guest appearance. You duck hunt? You guest appearance on Duck Dynasty. I know Clint Boyer was on that. So maybe.
Yeah, that would be fun. Those guys are funny.
But it's good to see that you're getting to do some different things out there, Paige.
Yeah.
Having fun, still doing, going to the races and working with some teams. Getting to travel about. It's a shame you're stuck on the road, though, so I better let you go.
Better get back on the road. Thanks for having me on, though.
And, you know, don't be a stranger. Come on anytime.
Okay.
Let us know when you want to do your next venture. We'll get you on and promote it. All righty.
Well, thank you so much.
Well, thanks again for coming on.
Okay.
And you take care and have a safe trip home.
Okay. Thanks.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
There you have it, former Miss Sprint Cup, Paige Duke, joining us, doing some hunting and working for Ford this weekend down at the Daytona International Raceway. That's about the only thing about driving all the way home is the fact that they said you stuck 2 hours in traffic. Wow. I would have flown, but, you know. It's one of those things, she gets to enjoy the weekend, travels about, so go to pagemduke.com, check out her earrings, and ladies, and you like that country look, and I know all the NASCAR fan ladies out there also like jewelry anyway, so you can buy some stuff from Paige and tell them you heard it here, and who knows, maybe she'll cut your break, maybe not, I don't know, you know, if it's all online ordering, just let her know that we keep her in our thoughts, and it's good to have her on. Back to the Truck Series wrap-up, as I said before, it was Johnny Sauter, who got his first win at Daytona. Kyle Busch, who was driving the number 51 truck, he wound up second. He still hasn't won at Daytona, let alone in any car that he's been in outside of the last year's shootout when he was letting the sparks fly. So as far as an official race goes, he hasn't won in any of the top three series he runs. So it was another second-place finish for Kyle. Ron Hornaday wound up third. Justin Lofton fourth. Chip Burton, son of Ward Burton, former Sprint Cup driver there. Another generation of Burtons making their way up. Ty Dillon wound up sixth. Miguel Paluto was seventh. Ryan Blaney was eighth. Matt Crafton was ninth. And Ryan Sieg was tenth. Our guest from last week, Ross Chastain, had a nice 14th place finish, so a good run for him. And Jennifer Jo Cobb wound up 35th. Didn't have a truck that could keep up, though. Wound up with the engine letting go after about 8 laps. Actually, she made 37 laps. She was like 10 miles an hour off the pace, and you can't run that hard when you can't keep up. She was had a tough run of it there, so. Hopefully in the next race she has a little bit better luck with the way she was and gets to run up front. As far as points go, we had Johnny Sauter, being he won the race, he's with 4 bonus points. He leads the standings right now at 47 points. Ron Hornaday Jr. was second. Justin Lofton is third in the points. Ty Dillon fourth. Jeb Burton fifth. Miguel Paluto is sixth. 7th is Ryan Blaney. Matt Crafton is 8th. He had a run, he was sitting in the back, had to get his truck tuned up a little bit and managed to get towards the front and wound up with a 9th place finish there. Darrell Wallace Jr. driving the 54 car truck of Kyle Busch, one of the Kyle Busch machines out there, had a 12th place finish. Kyle's other truck, the 18, Joey Coulter, wound up 22nd. I guess he left Childress last year, wound up signing with Kyle Busch Motorsports. So he wound up 22nd. Watch out for Darrell Wallace Jr. He's had some good runs in the few races he's running, and I think he's the real deal there. He's going to be one if he can keep a good ride. Right now he's Joe Gibbs' development, driving in the Nationwide Series with Gibbs. So he's one to watch out. He's 11th in the points. He's, running in the Truck Series for points. Otherwise, they wouldn't have him listed here. So he's probably going to run that whole series there, and he's 11th in points. So the better he gets, further up the ladder, he should move. James Buescher, who's the defending Truck Series champ, is 12th, and our guest last week is 13th in the standings. So we'll have to root Ross on so he can climb that ladder, even though he's not running all the races. He's still going to get points, and I guess they're going to keep the owner's points in play. There were 6 cautions for a total of 20 laps. I guess the biggest accident of the night was turn 3 on lap 55. It was involving 13 vehicles, and that kind of lightened up the field a bit. And it was only 5 laps to get everything cleaned up and back to green there. There were 11 lead changes amongst 6 leaders. Ty Dillon leading the most laps of the event, 3 times for that. And got the bonus points for leading the most laps, even though he didn't get the win. So that kind of helps him a little bit in the point standing. 6 cautions for 20 laps. Like I said, a pretty clean race, except for the one there. That was on lap 55. So out of the 80 laps that were run, of the 100 laps that were run, so little past halfway, it was clean up until then, and except for a debris caution. I think I was a phantom one at that. Sometimes that'll pop up. And, of course, caution came out on the last lap for an accident on the front stretch involving the 18, the 27, the 31, and the 33 trucks. Going into the Truck Series there, of course, we'll be off then till April the 6th when they hit Martinsville Speedway, and that'll be a 1:30 start on speed. So we'll get more on that as that weekend gets closer. As far as the Nationwide Series, of course, we all know what happened at the end of that one. If you missed it, you must have been living in a cave because there was a wild wreck at the end of the race on the last lap where Regan Smith was leading the pack. He had Brad Keselowski behind him. Brad went to make the move to go around them on the high side. Regan Smith went up the block. And wound up getting turned around by Brad Keselowski. Of course, I was on the last lap of the race. And what ensued was a nasty mess. Of course, the 32 car of Kyle Larson getting airborne and into the catch fence. Of course, everybody saw the replay of the engine. One of the tires was sitting on the wall, and another front tire was launched into the crowd. Last count said over 30 people were hurt. A few were critical, but they're stable. Seems like everybody that was in that is going to make out okay. But in the long run, at the checkered flag, Tony Stewart won his 8th nationwide race at Daytona. Took Sam Hornish, was second right behind him through all the mess. Third, Alex Bowman. Fourth was Dale Earnhardt Jr. Fifth was Parker Kligerman. In a new ride for this year, Brian Scott was sixth, driving for Richard Childress. Seventh was Justin Allgaier. He had it banged up a car a bit. And Eric McClure, eighth. Robert Richardson Jr. was ninth. Travis Pastrana was 10th. Nelson Piquet Jr. was 11th. Brad Keselowski, 12th. 13th, Kyle Larson, and what was left of a car, was credited with a 13th spot. I think everybody else after him was involved in that big wreck. It took out a we'll see if we can get a car count for you here. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 cars. They didn't even have the 32 car listed. So 14 cars there. And turn two with red flag for 19 minutes and 52 seconds of that race. Wait, that was the one before that. 14 cars in on that final last lap crashed on the front stretch there that took out the on the second big one of the night, which was the one at the end of the race. The first big one was involved where Michael Annette drove high into Ty Dillon, and that was on lap 117. Involved Annette, Dillon, Johanna Long, who was running, believe it or not, in the top 12 pretty much all day. Of course, getting shuffled back a couple of times, but she was running real well. I was looking to try to get her on tonight to give us her take, but she's probably in transit. And she was running real well in the draft, picking her spots, moving forward here and there, having good pit stops. Remember when we spoke with her earlier in the off season, she was excited to get down to Daytona, and she's having a real good run and got taken out in the first big one of the day, I should say, not the night. So that was a nasty ending to what was a decent race. Johanna wound up with a 22nd place finish in that, and she definitely would have finished at least 10 to 15 places higher. But it's a shame that she got gathered up in that one, and that was because she was right behind Ty Dillon when the 43 of Michael Annette came up into him, and she had no place to go. So I hate when our guests have a rough day. So hopefully when they go to Phoenix next week, she'll be in the car and has a chance to have a better finish, because when you're running real good, you don't want to see that happen especially when you're a victim of circumstances rather than the cause of it or something like that. There was a total of 34 lead changes in the race amongst 20 drivers. Regan Smith led three times for 23 laps in the 7 car. He was driving for Junior Motorsports. So he led the most laps, and being he's running for a championship, that comes into play. There were 7 cautions for 26 laps. Of course, the first one was for one lap at the 6th caution of the day. It was for one lap from lap 117, and of course, they red flagged that there to clean it up so they have a good finish with 3 laps to go when they drop the green again. And they're coming around for to take the checkered flag the other big one happened where Regan Smith was trying to hold up Brad Keselowski, and Brad had too much fender on him, and of course Regan wasn't clear, just turned hard right into the wall, and that's when the carnage started. Of course, every news outlet's been carrying it from the national news otherwise. And if you want to talk about what you saw or what you feel or what, just call it 646-649-1899. Be happy to take your calls. Being the racing season started, as far as the points go for the Nationwide Series, it's Sam Hornish Jr. leading the points with Alex Bowman in second, Parker Kligerman is third, Brian Scott's fourth, Justin Allgaier's fifth. Sixth is Eric McClure. Seventh is that's chopped off here. Seventh is Robert Richardson Jr. Eighth is Travis Pastrana. Nelson Piquet Jr. is ninth, and Kyle Larson is tenth. Regan Smith, would have had a good point stay, is in 11th. Elliot Sadler is 12th in the points. He was runner-up last year to Ricky Stenhouse Jr., who was the defending champ, moved on the Sprint Cup Series, driving the 17, which was vacated by Matt Kenseth. And more on that in a minute when we talk about the Cup race. Of course, everybody knows that on the pole is Danica Patrick, making history as the first woman to qualify for a pole in the Sprint Cup Series. She was the first woman to qualify for the pole for the Daytona 500. First woman to lead green flag laps at the Daytona 500. Janet Guthrie led 5 under caution years ago. So that counts as laps led, but she didn't lead them when the race was going full tilt. So, but it was Brad Keselowski leading a lot of the end of the race there, and of course, when Jimmy Johnson made a move to go around, Dale Jr. made a move too, wound up coming from about 6 places back and bringing some cars with him. Along with him was Mark Martin and Brad Keselowski. They were able to catch on to Jimmy Johnson and push Johnson past Keselowski and relegated Keselowski to 4th place. Ryan Newman was 5th. Sixth was Greg Biffle, had a strong car all weekend. Reagan Smith in the 51 car ran good. He finished seventh. Danica wound up eighth, starting from the pole. I don't care what everybody's saying about her. She was running good all day. A lot of time in the top 10, up in the top three spots most of the day. And a couple times we got shuffled back, made her way back up towards the front. I think she has to learn a few things, like when to pick up the oncoming traffic to get in front of for the draft. Post-race interview, Dale Jr. was wondering why she didn't pull down in front of him, because she would have gotten a push, and who knows, maybe she would have been able to get the win if they could have got around Keselowski and Johnson, because, you know, Junior held on pushing his teammate across the line. It was Johnson's second win in the Daytona 500. Dale Jr., of course, finishing second. Didn't have enough to get around his teammate because of the time the move was made. So they wound up shuffling Danica back to eighth, and ninth was Michael McDowell, and 10th was J.J. Yelly, two guys that stayed out of a bit of trouble. And wound up with good finishes. Clint Boyer wasn't the top running Toyota of the day. Those belonged to the Gibbs cars. Funny thing happened with them. Matt Kenseth, who was running stout all day, led a lot of laps, had a motor let go. And then Kyle Busch, who also was running pretty good, his engine let go. So that left Denny Hamlin wondering, because that would have been the third Gibbs Toyota. So he was probably hoping his wasn't going to let go. He wound up with a 14th place finish. Ricky Stenhouse Jr., in his rookie debut in the Daytona 500, finished 12th. Eric Almirola was 13th. Like I said before, Tamlin wound up 14th. 15th was Bobby Labonte. 16th, David Ruderman. 17th was Dave Blaney. 18th was Marcus Ambrose. 19th, Joey Logano, who was running pretty good. He wound up getting shuffled back. He had dodged a few bullets in the 22 Shell Pennzoil Ford, and I used to seeing him in those colors, just like I'm not used to seeing him in Matt Kenseth in Dollar General Yellow with the Home Depot back bumper. And Jeff Gordon, who started outside the front row, wound up 20th. The average speed of the race was 159.25 miles an hour with a margin of victory of 0.129 seconds. Race time was 3 hours, 8 minutes, and 23 seconds. There were 28 lead changes amongst 14 drivers, with Matt Kenseth leading the most of those, led four times for 86 laps. His Joe Gibbs teammate, Denny Hamlin, was the second three times for 33 laps. Danica led three times for 5 laps. Jeff Gordon led once for 31 laps. Jimmy Johnson, 4 times for 17 laps. Of course, the important one, the final lap. There were a total of 6 cautions for 24 laps. Total of 9 cars for the not quite big one, lap 34, and then again another 9 cars in turn 1 later on in the race, around lap 139. Other than that, the last caution thrown of the day was lap 193 for a chunk of metal that they don't say where it was a piece of debris, but you saw it on camera, so it was a relatively clean race except for the two cautions involving 9 cars apiece. As far as the points go, it's Jimmy Johnson leading the points right now over Dale Jr. With a 47-point to 42-point lead. Mark Martin is third, 1 point back of Jr. there. Frank Keselowski, a solid run with 41 points in fourth place. Newman in fifth. Greg Biffle, sixth place. Danica Patrick is in seventh in the points. And the only reason why is J.J. Yelly, who finished in front of her. No, Reagan Smith, who finished in front of her, is not running for a Sprint Cup point, so that moves Danica up one spot in the standings as opposed to her finish in the Daytona 500. So season contention right now, 37 points, with 10 points back at Jimmy Johnson. We'll see, have to see how she does coming the next few races. Of course, after running the high speeds at Daytona, the Nationwide Series and the Sprint Cup Series go out to Phoenix International Raceway this weekend. Saturday race for the Nationwide Series on ESPN2. It starts at 4:30. And the Sprint Cup race will be run Sunday on Fox, and that race will kick off at 3 p.m. Sunday. Of course, later start out there due to the different time zones, and we'll have to see who does what if they're going from the high speeds at Daytona to the flat, funny-shaped one-miler at Phoenix, where the turn is it's more of a driver's track, and handling will come into play a little better and all that. If you want to give us a call, the number to reach us is 646-649-1899. We're going to be looking at making our picks for Phoenix. You can find us on Facebook, on our Garage Talk Live page. I'll be posting my pick for there after the show. Last week I forgot to make the pick on the air. We're not going to forget to do that this week because we've got a few minutes left in today's show. So I'm looking down the results to see who I like for this week. And, of course, I'm looking at this race last year, and I'm trying to figure out who is who I'm thinking is going to do well in the race this coming year. So, as far as I could tell, might be leaning towards a Toyota this week. I'll just leave it at that for a few minutes. If you want to call in and make a pick, the number is 646-649-1899. Or if you want to talk about the 500 and a little bit of time we got, or the Nationwide race, the crappy ending as opposed to the happy ending, and the wreck heard around the country. You think NASCAR or the tracks can do anything to make the tracks safer for the fans? I know the the drivers have it pretty safe with the safer barriers. The catch fence did do its job. It contained the main part of the car and pretty much everything they got torn off it, except for a little piece that went over the top of it. Do you think the fences need to be higher? There was a 22-foot high fence, and it did have an out curl to it. It does have an out curl to it at the top. So what happened for it to go over isn't something you commonly see. Or is it just something at the track at Daytona where the speeds are gone and the way the cars get launched? But unless they hit the fence, the cars pretty much stay together. They can bounce and roll over and that kind of stuff, but you don't see too much stuff fly off them and into the stands. Just one of them flukes that happens. Every so often. I remember when Bobby Allison took out the fence at Talladega, which prompted the running of the restrictor plates to back the cars down. They said they were going too fast. Now with all the safety features and the flaps they have to supposedly keep the car on the ground, you know, when you go over top of a car like that and you get a little bit of air underneath you, once the air is underneath the car, it's still going to get a little airborne. I don't think there's anything you can do to prevent stuff like that. So it's just one of those things that it's fluky. Every once in a while you have an incident where things get torn up like that, and hopefully nobody gets seriously hurt or killed. Everybody gets to heal up, and as is the case after Saturday's wreck. And there were people that they were interviewing on Sunday that were there when that wreck happened. I think one guy got a piece of the 32 car. He was sitting right there when it happened. So, if, of course, NASCAR did offer different seats to those who were sitting close to the fence that were uncomfortable sitting there, which tells you it wasn't a sellout anyway. So if they could move people around, that's usually what happens. But, hey, who knows? The higher you sit from the track, the better you see anyway. They're the more expensive seats. So if you have a chance to move up, why wouldn't you take them? All righty, who am I going to pick this weekend for the Subway 500 in Phoenix? I think I'm going to go with, say, I picked Harvick last week, not on the show, but when I posted on the Garage Talk Live Facebook page. If you haven't had a chance, go over there, give it a like. The more fans, the merrier. So I'm not going to pick Harvick this week. I'll go with Brad Keselowski this week. I know I said I was leaning towards a Toyota, but I changed my mind. As a host of the show, I could do that. Hope everybody enjoyed Paige Duke, former Miss Sprint couple, who joined us on the air on her way home from Daytona. And I mean, she said she was leaving Daytona early, figuring she'd be home. But unfortunately, she got stuck in traffic for 2 hours. So the trooper that she is, she called us from the road. She pulled over, didn't get herself in trouble or pulled over by the troopers. Last thing you need is I don't know. Depends on the law. Where she was at, she was only an hour out of Charlotte, so she might have been in North Carolina, and their laws might be different. I know in Virginia here, you can use your phone, you can handhold your phone, but you can't text. So, but who's gonna text into a radio show? So, but good to have Paige on. One of the friends of the show, or at least somebody I know that I've had on before and is always welcome on again. She could talk about her tales of her next venture, as well as the rest of the Miss Sprint Cups that were on the show. This way we can get some of the outside stuff that, whether you want to hear it or not, I like to hear it. I like to hear different things and promote what a lot of the supporting cast of racing, because there are some of the people that help generate interest in racing, whether it's NASCAR, NHRA, or otherwise, or IndyCar, whatever. So hope you had fun tonight listening, and I'm Vince Bonfigli. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you all next week. Bye now.